Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we have an amazing artist, William Mbang, releasing their first project on Artblocks titled Anti-Cyclone. William, how are you doing?
Hello. Hi everyone. How am I doing? A little bit stressed, to be honest. But
Naturally.
yeah, hopefully this chat will ease everything.
Yeah, it's just a casual conversation. And to kick it off, can you tell the community a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. So I'm William, as you know. I'm a generative artist slash creative coder. I've worked in the advertising industry for 10 years, and I just started to jump into the NFT space about last year. I focus my work, I would say, on shapes, color, and composition mainly, because I have this strong relation with, like traditional medium, because I practice a lot on the side, outside of the computer. But and I like to merge both worlds, so that's usually what you'll find in my work. Yeah.
Awesome. And how did you first learn about Artblocks?
I think it was last year when Matt Delaurier launched his project Subscapes. I don't know the platform before, and that's how I knew about it, basically.
Cool. And then what led you into generative art in the first place?
I think it's a lot of things. It's truly really a big mix, I would say, because I have this historically, it's like at first I was a coder, and I was a lot interested, in art and everything graphical, and I just happened to start studying a lot about art and about art history and stuff like that. And at some point, I started to merge both disciplines, and I didn't know it was generative art at that time, but it was for me just creative coding, just enjoying. Experimenting with techniques and renders and stuff like that. And then I knew about generative art as a world when I started to to find some artists in museum exhibitions, and I was like, okay, so that's what I do actually. So okay, that's a world. I know the world now.
Cool. And so Anti-Cyclone, the project you're re releasing today, can you give us an introduction to that?
Yeah, sure. Anti-Cyclone is a series, generative series, about, I would say, like good mood and calm. So it's basically my vision about, the sky and how it affects me. Yeah, basically this, and then I just that was the basic idea, this mood, and then from then I started experimenting with rotation, airflow, textures, and that's what came in the renders that you see.
Cool. I mean, you can definitely tell it has an organic component to it. And so, did you have an intention of it looking in the way that it looks right now, or how did it evolve over time?
The goal was definitely this, but I didn't know how far I could push. That was the main question at first, because you can't use textures and assets on Artblock and fully on-chain generative art. So I was a bit not scared, but yeah, curious if I was capable of doing that. So yeah, I spent a lot of time, studying my own practice, how I put a stroke on paper, how I paint, what the paper looks like, what does it look like that, and step by step, I started to, to build the small components that build the final image. But yeah, I had this idea at the beginning, but not sure what I was about able to do it, but thankfully I was about to.
Cool. And can you tell us more about the interactive component of it? I know when I first saw the project, I mean, obviously I thought it was a beautiful static image, but the interactivity really took it to another level for me.
Yeah, I would say like you said, you have your first viewing experience, so you see the output, and you're like, okay, that's cool, but I wanted another hidden experience, like, because I felt when you know how it is done, you have another, you know, point of view on it. So that's what I want. That's why I wanted to integrate some kind of interactivity and let the people know how I build the image.
So as a creative coder, is there anything that you ran into this project that you didn't with the last?
Oh yeah, a lot of things didn't last. That's sad a bit, because you have some pretty good stuff, but you have to be, you know, objective and say, no, this doesn't fit the series. But yeah, I have some tears when I had to, you know, to ditch everything, not everything, but a lot of stuff. So, like, you know, I think I put a lot of stuff in my pin tweet. So you can see some lighting effect, some out stroke effect, and stuff like that. And at some point, it was really looking good, but not really well into the whole project. So I had to let them behind. Yeah, like also I had a very strong color at the beginning, and I know that it's not what I wanted. So every time I had like a super good combo of colors, I had to let it go. Like, yeah, it's super good, but no, it doesn't fit. So no.
On the topic of colors, can you let us know how you chose your palettes?
Whoa, that's I think the most complicated part of the process. I love colors, and I love how they interact with themselves. I studied a lot of, you know, Joseph Albert's work, Vasarely's work, and they both have a very strong language with colors and how they interact between them. So that's what I try to build myself. So basically, I take a color and then I analyze what it could work with. So, you know, you have this color wheel that shows the whole color spectrum. So there's like this color theory that you can apply most of the time. But when you have like 3 to 4 to 5 colors, it starts to be really complicated. So I started to, you know, to put some stuff on paper. So take my color pencils and just put them on paper and see if they work together. And that's how, step by step, I started to have multiple color palettes. But yeah, it was a really long process.
Cool. So I guess it's a curiosity question, but were there any bugs in your code that you, as you were working through, that you may have decided to leave in?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is the night mode. It wasn't supposed to be here at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, at some point, I think, you know, I was maybe tired or something, and I think I just pushed too far a variable. And that's what came in, and was like, oh, okay, that's really surprising. I wasn't expecting that, but I think there is something to dig. So, like, okay, I opened a door, it wasn't intended, but now it's open. Let's dig it. So yeah, that's the night mode, how it came in.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to see that come through the minter. And so to switch gears quickly, so, you know, mental health is a very important aspect, and it's something that can be kind of forgotten in the fast-paced NFT crypto landscape. How do you deal with burnout and, like, wind down after coding a project as well?
Yeah, it's really something I think to talk about. I try to just not be on social media too much most of the time. So, I impose myself to be like 1 hour or 2 hours max stop on social media, and then just leave the computer or leave Twitter and stuff like that. And even coding, because long form generative art just takes so much energy that sometimes you just have to to pause. Like, yeah, I'm just going to stop working on it for 2 weeks full, no coding, and then I will come back. And generally, it's really good because you have a fresh eye on what on your work. Because I think like 2 weeks ago, I was really not. Maybe 1 month ago, I was really pissed with my work. I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's not good. I have to do everything again. So that's when I knew, okay, I have to take a good pause. Let's come back, and then we're like, oh yeah, that's actually cool. Okay, let's continue.
And I mean, so do you have any other like creative outlets or when you need to step away from the computer?
I know that I do a lot of sports. That's like going outside basically is really
Yeah.
it really helps to evade basically the computer. It's physically you're not behind your computer. So I think just cutting this link physically with your computer is really good. And yeah, just enjoy outside basically. Yeah.
Cool. Do you have any words of advice for generative artists who are just starting to code their own projects?
If I had some tips, is maybe I'll analyze a lot what's out there, the code, because everything is available, so you can have a look, tweak it, learn from it. And I would say the most important thing is don't be too, how to say, in a rush. Take your time. Have some patience, because that's the most valuable things you can have. The more you wait, the more you can gain in skills, in value, in everything. And it helps to have a step back on what you do and to reflect, yourself in the mirror and say, okay, I did that. It's okay. I'll take my time. I'm not in a rush. So yeah, I think patience is a good advice to have.
I think that's really, really great advice. And I think we've seen, throughout the NFT landscape, but even Artbox specifically, some projects that have been in the works for years and years, and then are later, they're shelved and then later revisited. So I think that's
Yeah,
very valuable advice.
definitely.
A portion of the sales today are going to charity. Can you tell us more about that component?
Yeah, it will go to the St. Jude Hospital to help, curing a lot of like really terrible disease, mostly about children. And being a dad myself, it's really important to me to help the children, basically. Yeah, that's really important to me.
And then, do you have any other NFTs available outside of Artblocks that you can share with the audience?
I have some. I don't like to share them so much on internet, so maybe the links are not out there. But yeah, I have some works on FX Hash. I released the series there in no last November called Dragons. It was my first long generative art project. So there's that, and there's also a little bit on stuff like experimental animation, particles. So everything I experiment with will be on Tezos, like obgkt.com or Theia or stuff like that. So yeah, that's where I started, and that's a good platform to experiment with. So you can find me there as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I wanted to highlight that too, because I know a lot of people joined our server and hopped in Block Talk and your artist channel mentioning Dragons, and they're very excited for today's mint. So And then I guess, is there anything else you wanted to talk about or touch on before we sign off?
No, I think that's it. Maybe one small thing that I didn't mention yet. In my project on T-Cyclone, the palettes have names, and those names represent important women who changed the world. Because when I was studying like dragons, hurricanes, and cyclones, I was like, why do they all have, women name? And that's bad, because basically they name hurricanes with women names because for terrible reasons. And I wanted to counter this aspect of, society. So that's why the palette names all have a woman name.
No, that's a really good point. I guess I hadn't really thought about that either. I'm curious to look that up after we get off this call. Just really quick, I just wanted to go over some of the project details. Today's project that'll be unpausing in just under 10 minutes is Anti-Cyclone. It's ArtBlock's Project 304 in a curated collection. It's by the artist who's joining us today, William Mappan. The project size is 800. It's a Dutch auction starting at 3 ETH and falling every 5 minutes to a final resting price of 0.12 ETH. As you previously mentioned, 25% of proceeds will be donated to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. It will help find cures for children with cancer and other diseases. And finally, I just want to thank William and everyone who joined today to listen. For anyone that has questions for the artist, if you want to share mints from today's drop, please hop in our ArtBlock server. You can jump in Blog Talk, and then William has his own artist channel as well, where he'll be there. Thank you again, and happy minting, everyone. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
See everybody.
Bye bye.